All right, very good. Today we have a couple of readings in the Bible for you. Brother Pablo will have the first one. If you'll turn to page 641 in your Bible, that's Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is our opening reading, and he will read you the first seven verses, and then after that we'll jump back over to Acts.
Psalm 37, 1 to 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. May God bless his holy word.
Thank you, saints. Let's pray. Our Father, we always thank you for your word. We understand what a wonderful gift it is to have your word in our hands and to be able to hear your voice through it. And so today, Father, as we come to you and expect to hear your voice through the message today, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us clearly, to form in us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fit us to serve you in your kingdom. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Amen. All right, saints, if you'll also turn over to Acts chapter 12. We've had a couple of chances in the last 2 weeks to consider this account of Peter's supernatural deliverance from King Herod's prison the night before he was scheduled to be executed. So I just want to read a little bit of that again. I'm just going to read to you verses 11 through 17 of Acts 12, just to refresh your memory. So Acts 12:11 says, "When Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, 'You are beside yourself.' Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, 'It is his angel.' Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But, motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren.' And he departed and went to another place." All right, so certainly this is a wondrous act of God. You know, we read through the whole story a couple of times and saw just how laughably easy it was for God to deliver Peter from prison. You know, the angel showed up, he had to wake him up and told him to get dressed, and all the time the guards are asleep, nobody notices anything, and they just, you know, walk right out in plain sight and he's free. Definitely an amazing act of God, and it's one of these stories that reminds us that there is literally nothing whatsoever impossible with God. Okay, it's beyond easy for him to bring this miraculous deliverance to pass, and can deliver anybody from even the most securely laid plans of the most powerful people on earth. Okay, the wicked are accounted by God like the dust on the scales, it says. You can double the guard, you can triple the guard, you can literally shackle the man to two other men and, you know, exert all the earthly power that you can come up with to make escape impossible, But maybe you haven't heard, nothing is impossible with God. So what we haven't yet taken time to consider in this chapter is the importance of the church's prayers. Right? The people's prayers were, without a doubt, the pivotal element in Peter's freedom. Okay, saints, now some of you are devoted praying people, and others of you are much less devoted. I hope to be able to convince those of you who don't pray very much to take better advantage of what is perhaps a Christian's very greatest privilege. Okay, prayer is a very, very great privilege, but sadly, I would say it is a privilege that goes unused or underused by possibly the majority of believers. And I think, frankly, a lot of us would candidly admit to poor prayer practices, you know, not very much personal daily prayer. When we do pray, you know, it's often sort of very brief, kind of scattershot, not very focused maybe, not very energetic, a hurried sort of way, as if it's, you know, uncomfortable to be in God's presence, just kind of get in, get out. It's universally, just about universally true of American churches that the attendance at the midweek prayer meeting, if there even is one, and it's designed for Christians to pray together, the attendance at that meeting is much, much less than on Sundays, which is, it's evidence of what kind of priority prayer has for most people. A great number of us also are uncomfortable praying in the presence of other people. Okay, we know ourselves, you know, as I said, I think most of us would admit, you know, we're not so great at this and would like to be better. We'd like to be better prayers. So, you know, there's no use really in beating ourselves up about it. I just want to see what there is to see in Acts chapter 12 about it. And saints, let's grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus and in his grace. Let's become better prayers. We would like to be, right? Everybody would like to be a better prayer. So I think if we knew what prayer is and why it's so critical and how to go about it and not to sort of flounder around and flop around, then we would quickly gain confidence in prayer, and it would become a lot more natural to us. So the first verse I want to point out was back in verse 5. Where it said, here's our example, right? Peter's kept in prison, but constant prayer, you might, if your Bible might have a footnote there, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And then also in verse 12, which we just read, that in the house of Mary, many were gathered together praying. Right? Many were gathered together praying. So as far as verse 5 goes, different English translations have different words for that that adverb, constantly, earnestly, some of them say, or fervently or urgently, right? They're urgently praying with for him, and the Greek word at its root means to stretch, right? As if they're stretching out or straining, right? They're straining up to God in prayer. You know, this is urgent. Okay, it requires some energy. It's urgent because this one is a matter of time. You know, Peter got arrested and, you know, just had a couple of days left to live. And as soon as Passover is over, he's done for. So, you know, as soon as he was taken, the church got right down on their knees and called out to God and began to pray urgently. Okay, so here, by the time this story happens, it's literally the night before. I mean, if we're down to a matter of hours before Peter is executed, and we're down to the point where prayer takes priority over sleep. Okay, it's the middle of the night. Most reasonable people are in their bed sound asleep, but in Mary's house, you know, the lights are on, the people are gathered, they're up praying, earnestly praying. So last week we talked about the two opposing powers that were sort of centered on Peter. Herod's power is on the one side. What's on the other side? What do the believers have? Well, I'll tell you what they have. They have this weapon. Right? They have a spiritual weapon. Prayer is a weapon. I want you from now on to think of prayer in those terms. It's a weapon. Okay? It is a weapon for conducting spiritual warfare. Right? What's prayer? It's a weapon, right? Okay, Herod has all of his might. He has his soldiers. They all have their weapons. And he seems very powerful. And the Christians look powerless. Okay, prayer is the power which the powerless have. Okay, the Christians, you see, are not in Mary's house trying to figure out how they can maybe conduct a raid on the jail. You know, they're going to get a commando squad together and maybe try to surprise the soldiers and maybe cut down a couple of them and see if they can free Peter from... No, there's no thought of that. Okay? So Paul puts it very well in one of his letters when he said that the weapons that we use to fight with are not that kind of weapon. They're not the earthly kind of weapon. Right? He says, although we walk in the flesh, he's right, we still live in the flesh, we don't conduct our fight according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not material ones, right? He uses the word carnal. They're not material weapons, but they are nevertheless mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now look, Christians, it seems like Christians are in the minority, and the minority is getting smaller and smaller, and the wicked get stronger and stronger, and the righteous get fewer, and the devil is out there prowling around to kill and steal and destroy. And we very often feel like, oh goodness, you know, what are we going to do? What can we do? What can the righteous do? Well, we need to recall God's words to us about prayer. Call to me in your day of trouble, and I will answer you. Call to me, right? He it is who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants to him are like grasshoppers. He stretches the heavens out like a curtain and like a tent for him to dwell in. He brings princes down to nothing. He makes the powerful ones of the earth as emptiness. Haven't you known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints and never grows weary? What is your weakness to him? Right? Why do you reckon yourselves powerless? Right? You know, the scripture says, when you are weak, then you are strong. But why is that? It's because in your weakness, you call upon him who is stronger than all. Right? You call to the Almighty One in prayer. Yes, I am weak. Of course, I can do nothing about the powers of this age, right? Those who are mightier than me. But prayer is my weapon, right? Why? Because by prayer, what am I doing? I am engaging the all-powerful owner of the universe, who is my Father. I am engaging that one to whom nothing is impossible. Nothing is difficult. It's laughably easy for him, to whom all the assembled nations are like one drop in the bucket. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice like the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. It only causes harm. You get down on your knees and you bow your head and you pray. Right, you commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him. Okay, and I just want to make it clear, we say that prayer is powerful, but that's a roundabout way. Okay, it's not because prayer itself is powerful, it's because God is powerful. Right, you understand this, right? You know, people pray, but who are they praying to? Who knows? Right, and the scripture says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Yes, but it's not because prayer is powerful, and it's because God is powerful, right? Prayer is effective because God is powerful. So as I said, saints, prayer is the Christian's greatest privilege. The Almighty invites us, his children, all of his children, each one, to come to him in prayer. In fact, summons us to bring all manner of petitions and supplications to him, to come with boldness before his throne, so that we may receive mercy in our times of need. So, frankly, why? What are we waiting for? You know, it's a what? Why do we hesitate? What are you so shy about? You know, have you not been made a son or a daughter of God by the blood of Jesus Christ? Haven't you been cleansed of your sin? Haven't you been invited? Don't you know that God is your heavenly Father? Okay, God has said it, so let's do it. Okay, it is by prayer that we carry on our relationship with our Father. Okay, I know that you think it feels funny because God is invisible, it feels funny to talk to him. I know that you think that because God is omniscient, you don't have to express yourself to him. You know, he already knows. Look, I know he already knows, but talk to him. Okay, that is what he has summoned us to do, talk to him. And I feel that it's not just a pity that we don't use our greatest privilege. It's more of a tragedy, really. Because here we are, you know, we're beset on every side by lots and lots of troubles, things that spoil our peace, things that tempt us to sin, things that disturb the brotherhood, things that threaten our lives even, like here. Okay, the hymn says, what peace we often forfeit. Right? What peace we often forfeit. Oh, I didn't want that peace. I forfeited. What needless pain we bear. Why? Because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Right? So, just let me say a few things about how to pray. How to pray. It seems to me that a little bit of instruction here could go a long way. And I think a lot of the reason that our prayer lives are generally weak and disorganized is because we don't come to prayer with any kind of a plan or a sense of propriety. You know, what am I supposed to be doing here? If I'm told that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then I want to know how to effectually fervently pray. Okay, I don't want to just open my mouth and let things come out and talk without knowing where it's going. Right? I'm talking to the Lord God of heaven, the Supreme Majesty. Let me have something to say that makes sense. So I want to first talk about content. Okay, what do I say? What do I say? Well, first of all, prayer, because of whom it's addressed to, should contain worship, shouldn't it? Worship, thanksgiving, adoration, praise. Right? You are King of creation and Lord of my life, right? King of the land and the sea. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, how many prayers are sent up to heaven without a word of praise, without a peep of gratitude or wonder, admiration or humility. We just go right to the, please help me. Please give me. Please do this. Saints, worship your God. Worship your God in prayer. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? Pray that. If you don't know what to say, pray that. I mean, do you have anything good at all? Do you have any spiritual blessing? The reason you have it is because God is good. God has brought you to himself by the cross, by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I mean, isn't his son Jesus something to praise God about? Isn't that worth an expression of your love? Yes, certainly it is. Prayer, first and foremost, should magnify God. And then also prayer should, secondly, acknowledge his very great grace to you. Right? After all, who's this now coming into the presence of God? You're a sinner, aren't you? You're a weakling, aren't you? You need wisdom. You need pardon. You need forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. Right? Most of the time, again, people make no confession of sin in their prayers. Right? We're coming to you with this list of needs, but what right do we have to present it? But what about us? You know, haven't we fallen short of the mark? You know, don't we have to get certain things straightened out here between us and you before we start asking for the things that we need? Yeah, I think we do. Because it took a bloody cross to bring us to that, to the foot of the throne in the first place, to even give us the privilege to address God as our Father. And that's because of our sin. It's our sin, right? So God does not owe us anything. We owe him. Okay, we're dust and ashes. So prayer needs to contain not just worship, but also confession. And again, people usually blow right past that most of the time and get right to the list of wants. Okay, look, tell the Lord that you acknowledge his grace toward you, a wayward child. Right? He's already shown himself very willing to receive you, so it should not be embarrassing to acknowledge to him your failings. He already knows them. Okay? And then thirdly, thank God for what's good. Right? He does good to you all the time. He fills your life with good things, right? He's previously answered your prayers. He gives you daily bread. He gives you life, health, sunshine. He gives you his word that you're holding. His presence is with you. You have his promises to cling to for the times to come, his power. Right? You know what the hymn says? Count your blessings. Right? Count your, and don't just sit there and count them to yourself. Recount them back to him. Right? Tell him, these are my blessings. Right? And thank you for, and be specific. You know, especially when your prayers have been answered. Right? That happens a lot. A prayer gets answered and we don't go back to the Lord like the 10th leper to say thank you. Right? Lord, you're so good. You are so good to me. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And then when you make your requests, which you do, be specific. Right? Prayer should not just sort of amble around with no direction and no specific point. Get to the point. What is your request? My child, what is it that you would have me to do? That's what Jesus said to many people. What is it that you would have me to do? Right? Some prayers are so vague and broad that you would never even know if God answered your prayers because you didn't really ask for anything. It was just sort of, you know, bless this person or be with that person. Okay? Now, I feel like requests can be divided into the physical things and the spiritual things. Both things are needful. You know, things like healing, well-being, material supply, right? Those are the physical things. You know, we pray for a missionary to have all the funding they need. We pray for, you know, just to get to the end of the month and be able to pay the bills, right? We pray to get better from an illness. Those are physical things. Don't forget the spiritual things, right? What's more important to me, Lord, is that, because I know the physical thing is super easy for you, you know, that could go away like that. What's more important to me then, since you've sent this physical thing down into our lives, is that through that, we would get to know you better, right? We would come to trust you more. We would, what's more important to me is that you would grant your peace in this situation, right? That you would show us a better way, that you'd cause your love to grow in my heart and in my brother's heart, okay? Those are the greatest blessings. Knowing God better, loving our brothers and sisters better, right? Seeing holiness grow and bloom and seeing disciples grow up and mature and seeing unsaved people come to know God and trust God. Okay, like I said, this physical problem, yeah, I know you could make this go away so easy. So you've chosen apparently to send this. So reveal in that situation your goodness, your sufficiency, right? Glorify your name, right? Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So, you know, we have the Lord's Prayer, you know, and it's a good model, right? It's one model that can help you with the content of your prayers, right? It's people say, what shall I pray? I don't know what to say. Well, look at the Lord's Prayer for some suggestions for a structure of things to say. And, you know, a lot of English speakers use the ACTS model, A-C-T-S, just like the book we're reading. It's just coincidence or somebody clever came up with it. A for adoration, right, worship. C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication, right? We worship God first, we come confessing our sins, we thank him for the good things, and then we have our needs, right? Some of those are physical things and some of those are spiritual things, right? And God's word says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Okay? But beyond the, that's the content of your prayer. Beyond the content, I want to remind you about the companionship of prayer. Right? Prayer should be a joint activity and not just a solo activity. The church offered God constant prayer for Peter. Right? In Mary's house, many were gathered together for prayer. Right? Many hearts joined together in unanimous consent. Right? That's important. It's very, very important, saints. What are we asking God for? Not just what am I asking God for? Right? What specifically are we asking God for? Which, you know, that brings me back to, you know, those of you come Wednesday nights, this is, you know, something we've been talking about for a few weeks. What is the church? You know, is the church just a collection of individuals, each with their own individual lives and concerns, as opposed to shared lives and concerns? Right? Are we people who just bump into each other for an hour on Sundays and then we have our own separate compartments? No. The church is a new creation. It's a new society. Right? The church is a supernatural society. It is a union of spirits who co-partake in the Spirit of God through Christ, and their thoughts ought to align, their wills ought to align, and they ought to align with Christ's will and thoughts. Okay? A church is a colony of the kingdom of God, and our wishes should come into conformity with the mind of God. Okay, and God has called not just the individual saint into his throne room, God has called the church into his throne room, right? So shared prayer, joint prayer, right, together in the audience chamber of God, that's how we as a body engage with God and as a family, right? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's how we engage with our Father. So yes, obviously pray on your own, but you will get much better at praying on your own if you will come and join your brothers and sisters and pray together. Okay? And it's like communion. You know, in communion, we demonstrate our oneness by sharing the elements, right? Well, gathered prayer is the same. It's like that. This assembled prayer is a demonstration of our union, our shared life in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray together, the Holy Spirit flows from God's throne down to between us, among us, right? And our prayers, I believe, are as they resonate with each other, they're more powerful as they go up to God. And the Spirit drives our unanimous voice up to the Lord so that he hears, right? All things are possible with God, but let's get those things out on the table and talk about how are we going to pray for these things, each one. And, you know, how we should agree to what we should agree to ask God for. Okay, Peter was restored to the church by the unanimous urgent prayer of the saints. Okay, and of course, it's a very human response that they say, wow, you know, what are you doing here? How did you get here? You know, they're very surprised by him actually being restored to them. And it's just it's amazing what God will do when his people pray unanimously and intentionally. Like, I want to be surprised by that, things like that, don't you? I mean, I want our church family to have these shocking surprises. Well, I didn't actually expect to get that, you know. But when we pray together, when we pray strenuously toward God, I would, you know, I think that our church family could experience some things, some surprises like that. But I don't think you can expect surprises if the prayers that we send up are sort of feeble and diffuse and sort of half thought through, kind of aimless, mindless, you know, just sort of talking up there, you know, not really, you know, sort of get in, say the prayer and get out kind of prayers. You know, we want to be eager to spend time together in the Spirit, right, in our spirits, in the presence of God. It's good to be there in the presence of God together and really communicating with him. Okay, you faithful ones on Wednesday nights, you know what a blessing it is. Okay, but let's not go up there and just sort of wander around and look around heaven, you know, as if we didn't have anything to say. You know, if you run out of things to say, then say amen. Praise you, Father. I'll be back when I have more to say. And lastly, I just want to stress the importance, very briefly, of coming to God with a righteous heart. With a righteous heart, right? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord and who can stand in his holy place? It's the one with clean hands and a pure heart. Right? You know, the Bible says that if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Okay, and Peter talks about how you don't want anything to hinder your prayers. Right? Sin hinders your prayers. And I'm sure when Peter got out, he was very, very glad that those who were praying for him were doing so with clean consciences and unhindered prayers. Right? Prayer is mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Right? Prayer is a weapon, right? Call on me in the day of trouble and I will answer you, right? You want the Lord to hear your voice, so then you need to hear his voice, right? You need to go into prayer with a clear conscience, which means you confess your sin and you forsake your sin, right? It really takes a lot of nerve to ask God to do things that you want him to do when you don't do the things that he wants you to do, right? And he says, don't mock me. Right? If I call and you don't answer, then when you call, don't expect me to answer. Okay, so obedience is the key to effective prayer. Okay, so what I'm saying, saints, is make the necessary change. Right? If you have to change your conduct, change your conduct. If you have to change your prayer practice, then change your prayer practice. Right? Sin keeps you from prayer. Prayer keeps you from sin. And God is ready to show you his wonders, right? Wonders are very easy things for him to do. Okay, so the verse says, delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All right, with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, as your sons and daughters, we come before your throne, fearing you, Lord. Who would not fear you? You're the Almighty. You are the judge of each one of our hearts. Your word, Lord, will stand when all is said and done. It will be your word that will stand. And we belong to you. You have made us for yourself. And so, Father, you have called to us and shown us the way in which we should walk. Cause us to walk in your way. Cause us to know your commandments, and not just to know, but to do. And not to be like those who look in the mirror and then walk away forgetting what they saw. Help us, Father, to be holy as you are holy, knowing, Lord, that this is how our spirits will be drawn so, so close to your own spirit. Through the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people today, Lord. Make us better prayers. Give us the conviction that it's something that is worth our time, worth our effort, worth making space in our schedule for, and not just alone, but together. Thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord, our companions in prayer, the ones who love us and the ones who pray for us and the ones who have us on their heart. We are really grateful, Lord, for a church family to know and to be loved by. And we pray that you'll be well pleased with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for condescending to listen to us, to consider our prayers worthy to listen to, Father. So we ask that you would send us from here in the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Spirit would abide with us and not subside and not drift away, that we would not drift away, but that we would continue in the strength and the fullness of the new life with which you have endowed us. Blessed be your name, Heavenly Father. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.